UFOnline.com.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students regardless of their location. Online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. UF believes it's time to expect more from an online education. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect. Good afternoon. Welcome to WMNF. You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is community radio from West Central Florida. And specifically, you are tuned to Executive Session, which is a forum for the discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. I'm John Gilmore. I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. All viewpoints are welcome as we prepare. Let's see, all viewpoints are welcome. Yes, we do. We welcome all viewpoints, and we require civility because we are convinced that radio can still be the back fence of the nation, which is to say a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. And you can join the conversation at 813-239-9663, and you can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure to find Executive Session on Facebook. You can like and follow the page so you can see the links to the material we're discussing that day and join the discussion there. So welcome once again. Flight Leader Sheeler, would you please prepare the cabin?
Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Gilmore has informed me there is turbulence ahead. Please turn up the volume and fasten your seatbelts. It's Buckle Up Thursday.
Yes, it is. Buckle Up Thursday in Executive Session here on WMNF. Now, that report that you've heard so much about and seen so little of, Stephen Colbert had some thoughts on it last night.
Everybody is breathlessly waiting for the Mueller report to come out, and there have been signs today that it might maybe, possibly, definitely, or not be released soon. Because we just learned that one of Mueller's prosecutors has concluded her detail, making her the third senior member of Mueller's team whose plans have been confirmed in recent weeks to leave. You know what that means? Probably something. As Politico put it, neither Mueller nor his Justice Department supervisors have said anything official about the conclusion of the special counsel's investigation, but the clues continue to pile up that at least the most high-profile parts of Mueller's work are done. It's like we're three-quarters of the way through a Scooby-Doo episode. But some of the clues are pointing to the investigation not being over. For instance, yesterday the Justice Department made an announcement about the future of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Now, Rosenstein has indicated that he's not leaving his post until the Mueller report is delivered. We just found out that Rosenstein is staying on at Justice a little longer than anticipated. A little longer. We've been anticipating a long time. It's like we've been watching a porno for 2 years, and they're still ordering the pizza. Now, we've been on high Mueller alert since CNN made this stunning revelation back on February 21st.
A big shout out has to go to our amazing stakeout team who is out in front of the special counsel's office literally every single day, rain and snow. And they saw last week that in an unusual move, they were carting out boxes from the office, something that they hadn't seen before.
Yes, CNN is stalking Robert Mueller. The media has to look for whatever signs they can find because the Mueller team has been completely silent. It's like trying to divine messages from the great volcano god. Wow. Mueller better drop his report soon, okay? He better get that thing out soon or the media is going to go crazy looking for signs. We staked out Robert Mueller's kitchen garbage. He had bran flakes for breakfast, possibly a sign he wants to get things moving. But even when Mueller's report is finished, we might not see it. Now, White House lawyers are saying they plan to review whatever version of the report Barr submits to Congress before it reaches lawmakers and the public. You know, the way we let criminals edit their own indictment.
Yes, the Mueller report, which, as far as we know, as far as we know, does not yet exist. And the investigation that hasn't released it yet have been the focus of presidential ire and scorn from their earliest days in a nearly constant stream of tweets, speeches, and offhand remarks. Witch hunt, 12 angry Democrats, hoax, and of course, presidential harassment. Just a few of the lyrics of the presidential refrain so familiar to anyone who hasn't been isolated in the back of a cavern or sealed in a soundproof room these past 2 years. Did you feel the trembler? This is excerpted from CNN. Quote, Donald Trump, the president who refused to release his tax returns, just made an unexpected gesture towards transparency, saying he'd be happy for Americans to see Robert Mueller's final report. The president, with his talent for shifting the terms of a debate, weighed in on the fate of Mueller's yet-to-be-filed final report before heading to Ohio yesterday. And this is the president speaking. I don't mind. I mean, frankly, I told the House, if you want to, let them see it. Trump said when asked about whether the American public had the right to see the fruits of the special counsel's labors. What happened? Well, the CNN SSRS report released on Wednesday found that 87% of Americans believe that the Mueller report should be made public. Just 9% disagree. Where are you on this? And there was the recent unanimous non-binding resolution passed out of the House urging that any report be made public, about which the president said, I told leadership to let all Republicans vote for transparency. Makes us all look good and doesn't matter. Play along with the game. So, what do you think brought about this change? And do you believe the president? Why? Why not? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. was sour and great. Those were the days.
And we are in executive session this Buckle Up Thursday afternoon. As you know, we came to call Thursdays Buckle Up Thursdays around here because so very, very often, just after 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday, something would hit the fan, so to speak. And it just got to be such a pattern that we came to decide that we all had better buckle up because things very frequently got kind of bumpy sometime between now and the end of the weekend. So, and by the way, this is also, we also especially invite people who have not called in before to call in. If you have been listening for a while, or if you just tuned in, and you hear an opinion that you want to talk about, or you have some facts that you'd like to bring, or just some experience you'd like to share, you can reach us at 813-239-9663, and we will put you on the air. I believe that you will talk to Bill Grace this afternoon. I am in a distant location, and not entirely clear who it is that's over there waiting for your call, but someone over there, I think Bill will answer your call this afternoon, get your name, where you're calling from, probably a word or two about what it is that you'd like to talk about, and get you ready to step in here and take the floor. So, what do you think? Do you feel this change from the president? The president has just been excoriating Mueller and his investigative team and his investigation and pretty much anything around it for an entire 2 years, just accusing them of being all kinds of biased and just awful. And now all of a sudden, he says he wants to, I don't mind, he said. I mean, frankly, I told the House, if you want to let them see it, go ahead. So do you believe that? What do you think happened? Bill in Jacksonville. Good afternoon, Bill.
Happy day, Tampa Bay.
How you doing, Bill?
Hey, I am buckled in and ready for takeoff.
Good. I'm glad you are.
I don't mean to skip a rail here, but there was an executive decision made yesterday, and I figured I'd love to address that executive decision.
Uh-huh.
So that's really not the purpose of my call, and I'll try to be concise. There's a show I understand that WMNF is going to be doing here soon, wherein the hosts and DJs are going to be speaking about how music has affected their lives. And I, as a founding supporter and co-owner and family member of WMNF, would love to say my story as to how WMNF has affected my life. You've got several chronic callers. But there's one.
We call them our cast of characters.
Yeah, well, help me among them. I'm a member of the herd.
Yep.
Anyway, I have been, as I say, a founding supporter and member since about Isaac's age. So
yeah.
I want to commend you for putting him on the air. And he, and the other thing I just wanted to say is to Ted that after that decision yesterday, it's safe to come out of the bunker, just hydrate the vegetables, you can come out and get a fresh breath of air, and then you have to go back down, of course.
Well, you got to take care of the vegetables.
Right, anyway, hey, thanks for putting me on the air.
Okay, listen, I always appreciate your text. I'm always glad, and it's really good to hear from you. I'm glad that we actually got to talk.
I love when my radio talks back to me. In fact, I've got a history in broadcasting. I got my first FCC broadcast license at the age of 8.
Uh-huh.
This is back in the days of CB, Citizens Band.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I had a base station in my bedroom with an antenna on my roof.
Wow.
So when Rob Lori came to my door, I was playing hooky from school. And some hippie came knocking on the door holding a coffee can. And he says they were trying to start a radio station. So I was all clued in on that. I was tuned in on that already.
Yeah.
So I pilfered all my coinage from my dad, all his coins, whatever I could find, and dumped it in that coffee can.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well,
and that was before you were ever on the air. So.
Have you, if you get it, I don't know if you've, I know that you're in way far away Jacksonville, and I wonder, have you seen what your donation has grown into? Have you been in this radio station yet?
I have slept on the bench on the brickyard out there.
Oh, good.
Because I'm homeless, and I was on the streets in Hillsboro for a while, and I spent 2 nights sleeping on that bench.
Well, I'm glad that you found some hospitality at your radio station.
It's the house we built.
Exactly.
It's the tower we built.
Exactly.
Hey, God bless Tampa Bay. God bless the WMNF family.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to hear from you, and I hope we get to talk again.
We love you.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 on a Buckle Up Thursday. And by the way, I want to invite you, if there is something that you have on your mind, if there is we try to confine this conversation to the executive branch, but every once in a while, as you have often heard, we do go wandering off the path from time to time. So if you have something that's on your mind and you want to, something that you've noticed about the executive branch of the government, something that you have heard about that we haven't talked about, or something that you know about that we haven't talked about, By all means, give us a call at 813-239-9663 and we'll get you on the air and we'll have a conversation about it. Well, right now, we're going to go and talk to Danny. Danny, good afternoon. You're in executive session and you have the floor.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon. I'm so happy to hear that Rob Lara is coming back. That's all. I mean, that's one of the first things I want to say.
Okay.
I'm very happy about that. Today on The View, it came. Meghan McCain took the high road.
Uh-huh.
And then it was Anna Navarro's turn.
Uh-oh.
Anna
Navarro? Anna carries a blowtorch.
Yeah, I think Donald better watch out if you ever saw her in a dark alley. Okay? Anna Navarro proceeded to just rip him apart, comparing, saying he would never, ever compare to John McCain's stature as a man, as a human being, anything like that. Pointed out that called him a liar two or three times, and said that he's just not worthy of even being mentioned in the same breath.
Mm-hmm.
He said it wasn't the funeral that you got that for him that he wanted. It's a funeral that he deserved.
Yeah, he earned that, didn't he?
He earned that. Exactly what she said. He earned that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. Meghan McCain hasn't said this, but I heard it, that Ivanka and Jared showed up at that funeral.
Yeah.
Now, the reason they showed up at that funeral, from what I understand, was that Lindsey Graham invited them without telling her.
Ah.
That's cold. And Lindsey Graham is another one. Oh, she proceeded to say that Lindsey Graham and Romney and even Johnny Isaacson, they said some beautiful words about John McCain, but did not go ahead and condemn Donald Trump for what he said.
Hmm.
And she said that was disgraceful.
Well, you know I don't know. I got all hooked up on that whole conversation that he had about how nobody thanked him.
Yeah,
for that, as though that funeral about that man, was about him,
one of Meghan McCain's sisters, I believe, wrote and so told him just exactly that if you would have been invited to the funeral, you would have tried to get credit for it. It would have been all about you. Now, that's all. Everybody knows you wouldn't have cared about him or anybody. You know. Listen, let me leave you with this today. I think that Johnny Joyce called him a reprehensible human being, and you know, there's no. You know, I just can't go on and on. I'd be like, I repeat myself, and everybody knows the way I feel.
It gets repetitive after a while, doesn't it?
Wait, a lot of people feel about him, and it's just, we have to sit there and say that. This guy is, I've never seen any, especially a president,
yeah,
a so-called president, like this guy. There's such something there. I agree with George Conway. There seems to be, and a lot of the people, there seems to be something off or wrong with him besides being narcissistic, besides being braggadocio about what? I have no idea. Because and a liar, all these qualities, it's hard to put into words.
Yes, I understand, and you have
put into words. And for me to sit there and say hard to put into words about him.
All right, Danny. John. Thanks for checking in on a Thursday.
Thank
you. Stay buckled up, and we'll see you after a while.
Have a good weekend.
Sure enough. All right. 813-239-9663 will get you into executive session this afternoon, and excuse me, I'm playing with the computer here, and and we all know about my capacity.
I'll keep your eyes on the road, your hand upon the...
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, we'll get to that later. So what we're going to do right now is we are going to go and talk to Rob in Thanota Sassa. Good afternoon, Rob. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Well, thank you, John. I wanted to say, I want to comment on the Mueller probe.
Yeah.
I want to say I was at the meeting Monday night, and I'm very happy to see. I never got to call into the show because so many people were trying to get in. But
yeah.
I think that it was a great expression of democracy in action. And I think the people spoke, the supporters of the station spoke, and pretty much, I think everybody's very happy with the decision, so hopefully the station can get on with what it does and this bump can be put behind us.
Well, we shall see. It has been a tough time, and we'll know more about it as we go on down the road. We got a lot of work to do, and I appreciate you calling in and having your say about it, and we'll talk again.
Well,
what about that Mueller report, by the way?
All right. Well, I think that it's interesting that, you know, the indictments stopped at some point at the inner circle. And one kind of thread of thought that's been entertained by other people is that, well, maybe they're going to refer certain things to a state court because of the fear that, like, say, if someone like Kushner or, you know, somebody in the family or very close or Donald Jr., that he's going to pardon them, so they don't want to indict those people if they're indictable, which they may very well not be.
Uh-huh.
It may end at a, you know, short of the inner circle and short of Trump. That's very, very possible. But it could be that they're going to refer certain things to a state court if they have jurisdiction.
Yeah, I think they've already started to do that. I think that Mr. Mueller is an extremely cagey guy who's been around for a very long time, and I think that he is actually I think he's actually taking measures to see to it that that what they have found in the investigation can't be done away with easily.
I agree with that. Now, I think I know a lot of people might not agree, but I don't feel Donald Trump is any less cagey in a lot of ways, because the man has been doing business and doing a lot of things that are quasi-borderline illegal, but he's never gotten in trouble legally, you know, and I think he's very savvy in terms of how to skirt that thin line between legality and illegality.
Yeah,
and he's done it quite successfully, so he may have been able to do it this time, keeping himself one or two degrees of separation away from, you know, an indictable offense or an impeachable offense.
It's a possibility. It's a possibility, Rob. But the other thing is that there is a difference between how you might be able to conduct yourself as a real estate developer based in New York City and how you can conduct yourself as the president of the United States. And I think that thinking you can do the same things as the president and conduct your business in the same way as president that you could as a real estate developer is an error.
I agree. And he may have crossed that boundary. And again, it's going to come down, I think, ultimately to his financial and dealings in Russia and whether or not that compromises him or, like they always say, follow the money. And
yeah.
If you follow the money and that will, if he does go down because of this investigation, that's going to be where it's going to lie.
Steve Bannon said, Rob. That's exactly what, in the book, I believe it was called Fuhrer, I'm not sure, there's been a good number of books, but the first book that came out of the White House, where they apparently just granted this guy kind of like a bench in the West Wing, and he just got to talk to people. And one of the people he talked to apparently was Steve Bannon, and he went on the record and said that what he thought the president's greatest exposure was, and this is totally paraphrased, was his financial dealings, just as you said.
Yeah, well, I hate to be in agreement with Bannon, but I think it is. All right, thank you, John.
All right, Bob, we'll talk to you later, Rob. I appreciate it. 813-239-9663 here in executive session on WMNF. You're listening to 88.5 in Tampa. My name's John Gilmore. This is executive session Monday through Thursday. We're here talking about the executive branch of the United States government. A lot of times we talk about the president and the presidency, but there is also, as you probably know, other departments in the executive branch. And those are the various goings on and conduct in those departments is certainly, fruit for picking here if you want to. So, again, 813-239-9663. We're going to go and talk to Mike about the Mueller report. Good afternoon, Mike. You're in executive session.
Hey, how you doing today?
So far, not bad. We'll know more later.
Not a problem. And my opinion is that he's created himself a buffer just like his taxes to where, hey, you can't see my taxes because they're under audit. He knows the report's not going to get out.
Oh, yeah?
He wants to, yeah, I think he just wants people to say, yeah, I'm good with it, and then it's not going to come out.
Well, what do you think, what do you think the mechanism's going to be, Mike, for that not to come out?
I think it's his Department of Justice guy. I think that's just going to, he's going to go through it and say, listen, we can't release this because it's a lot of protective knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, the other side of that is the 18 and a half pages that were redacted concerning the campaign finance.
Yeah.
Just curious what's up in those 18 and a half pages that they had to block all that stuff out.
Yeah, doesn't that get your attention?
That's why I don't think this report or this Mueller thing is quite done yet. That 18 and a half pages is where those more indictments are probably going to come out. And maybe it has to do with Junior. I don't know. But I'm thinking there's some stuff there that, you know, he doesn't want to be seen. But it could come back to bite him in the butt.
It's a possibility. What do you think would happen? What do you think the reaction across the country would be if Mueller comes out and says, we've finished our investigation, we've turned the final report over to the Attorney General as is required, and the Attorney General has said he will not release it? What do you think will happen? What do you think the reaction would be across the country?
Well, I think you have those hardcore supporters that are like, hey, that's good. There was nothing there, otherwise they would have released it.
That's an interesting line of thinking.
Yeah.
I hear you.
He's got control. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's unfortunate, but he has control, and then his supporters double down.
Yeah. Well, I think my own personal thought about it is that some, and it's like they said survey that we quoted, that 87% of the American people, 87% of the respondents to the survey, let's do it right, 87% of the respondents to the poll said that they want that report released. And if that's representative of the population in general, and they try to bury that thing, I wonder if there's not going to be a very loud outcry.
I would hope so, and I would hope people would take a look at it and take it for what it is. This guy's got a lot of stuff to hide, and he doesn't want you to know it. It's much like the Westinghouse deal with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Who is going to benefit from that? Jared Kushner. And now he wants to bankroll Westinghouse some more on nuclear power plants.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was that they would provide the Saudis with nuclear power plants. Frankly, it scares the hell out of me, because I'm pretty sure that most of the kind of nuclear power plants that we have today basically, as a byproduct, produce the kind of waste products, quote unquote, that can be fashioned into nuclear weapons with the right kind of processing.
Yeah, and he's in bed with the Saudis.
Yep.
Well,
I'll tell you what, we shall see. It will be a very interesting weekend. I thank you for being in the session with us this afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Have a great day.
Sure. Thanks. Enough. 813-239-9663. And here's a little information on some place you might very, very much want to go around here.
Hi, this is Angela B. We're back again. The Caribbean Cruise Music Festival will take place at Skipper's Smokehouse, Saturday, March the 23rd. Live bands include Impulse, Renegade, Jafarai, Trinity 7, Sucker Boys, Spy vs. Spy, Terry Edwards and the Latin Jazz Band. For more information, go online to WMNF.org. The doors open at 4 p.m. See you there.
WMNF's record and CD sale. Amazing deals. Don't miss out. Snag the album of your dreams at a way cheap price. This sale will blow your mind. Most CDs and LPs will be priced at $2.
All purchases are as is and are final. Parking is limited. Carpooling and alternative transportation is suggested.
WMNF's big record and CD sale. Saturday, April 27th. Be there.
I'll tell you what, if you have not been to one, if you have not been to the record and CD sale, it is a revelation. You will find the most astonishing array of all kinds of recorded material. If you are an audiophile, if you're a collector of certain kinds of certain genres or certain performers, this is definitely a place where you ought to come and look. It really is. It is quite amazing. And we are going to go right back to the phones because we're going to go and talk to David in Lake Wales about the Mueller report. Good afternoon, David. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Good afternoon, John. Yeah, the Mueller report, well, honestly, you've had quite a bit of feedback on it already. I'm not sure I could add too much. Initially, I thought I could, but I do want to say I'm just so happy today about hearing about Rob, and I had a question for you. I listen to your show every day, and I enjoy it, and you've said numerous times in the past month that when something happened, you would talk about it.
Yep.
And now it's been announced, and you're not talking about it.
Thank you for bringing it up. That's exactly that you. We came on to do the regular program, and I am going to respond to that. Now I'm going to tell you something right now. That yes, basically, sir, what I can tell you is pretty much what you already know. And I'm willing to go and say, and this is all I know about the process, and this is what I can tell you. In February, WMNF News and Public Affairs Director Rob Lori was fired. He filed a grievance with the station's board of directors, and its president announced the board's decision on the WMNF airways at 3:30 p.m. yesterday. This is a quote. This is Assistant News and Public Affairs Director Sean Canan, and I'm speaking with David Harbeitner, who is the president of the board of directors of WMNF. The board has gone through a grievance process after news director Rob Lori was fired, and then he invited David to talk about the decision. And David said, yes, Sean, the board has reached the decision to reinstate Rob to his role as news and public affairs director at WMNF. We believe that both Rob and Craig Kopp, the station manager, can and should play a critical role in the present and future of WMNF. This event, unfortunately, has reinforced the value of WMNF and the impact we have in the local community, particularly in regard to news and public affairs. It has also heightened our commitment to support the Tampa Bay community and to give a voice to the underserved. And Rob will be back on Monday morning. So that is, at least at this point, David, that is what I can tell you about what happened.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that. And, you know, as I say, I really enjoy your show, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just a little curious why, that's such a big, big thing, such a big announcement. I'm just a little curious why you didn't just say it at the beginning.
I was basically waiting to see if anybody was interested, and by golly, you are.
Well, yes, I think everyone is.
Okay. Well, I think that you have served well in bringing the question into the session, and I appreciate you doing that.
Okay, John. Thank you.
And listen, it says here that you are that you originally came up here to talk something about the Mueller report. You got something to say about that?
Well,
are you there?
That Trump suddenly makes the statement that he wants the public to see it. Of course, we can't believe a darn thing he says.
That was one of the things I wanted to know right there.
Well, I don't think other than that 30-something percent that you know. I don't know what the heck's the matter with them, but other than that, so he said it. Well, why did he say it? Perhaps he got some knowledge about what's in it, and it's not as scary as he thought.
Uh-huh.
That's all I could think is maybe he now knows something we don't know, and maybe he feels he's going to be somewhat exonerated, so now all of a sudden he wants the public to know what's in the report.
That's an interesting proposition, and I wonder, as long and as hard as he has condemned the investigation.
Right.
And as vocally as he has complained and called it a witch hunt and a hoax and questioned the credibility and everything about it, what if it comes out and exonerates him?
Well, I don't really think it will.
Let's do the thought problem that you proposed, which is that maybe he knows something about it. Do you think it poses a problem for him that after he's tried to discount the whole thing and call it a hoax and a lie, that it comes out and exonerates him?
It won't pose a problem for him with that 30-something percent, no.
Okay. So you think
they're going to follow him no matter what.
Yeah. So his base won't care. And
no, they won't care either way. They're not going to care no matter how damaging it is. You know, if there's really nothing there, if it's a nothing burger, which I don't know how it could possibly be, half of his staff is already in jail or facing jail time.
Yeah, it's been a rough patch for them.
There's nothing there, but, you know, if there isn't much there, it will give that 30-something percent more ammunition to hurl at the rest of us. There's no question about that.
I'll tell you what, waiting for this thing to be completed and waiting to see what happens is just one of the most tedious things I think that I have ever seen in American politics. And I appreciate your call. Thank you very much for bringing it in here on a Thursday afternoon, and I hope we get to talk again, sir.
Yes, sir. Pleasure is mine.
Thank you. 813-239-9663. Have you heard a viewpoint that you want to comment on? Do you have a viewpoint that you haven't heard? Do you have experience about something that might fill in some gaps for people and you've never called? Pick up your phone, tap out 813-239-9663, and I believe that's Mr. Bill Graysbeck there you're going to get to talk to. Let him know that you're calling in for the first time. We'll get you on right away. In the meantime, we're just going to kind of march through the stack here, and we're going to go and talk to Chuck in Newport Richey. Good afternoon, Chuck. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you got the floor.
Do I?
You do.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Sure.
It's Jeff, not Chuck, but that's okay.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the Mueller report, but then they threw in the Rob Lori curveball, and I just want to say real quick, so much for Craig's vision of the future of the station, huh?
Well, we don't know. We don't have any idea about that. All we know about is what the board released. So we're moving on from there, and we'll find out how it's going.
Okay, but anyway, back to the Mueller report. You know, you keep asking. You've asked before. What if, after the way he's disparaged it, it comes out and exonerates him? What's he going to say? Well, he's going to say, I told you so.
But he's going to say, I told you so. So the report that exonerated me is the same report that I have said is a hoax?
No, he said the investigation was a hoax.
Okay, so the investigation is a hoax. The people who are carrying it out are criminally biased, I guess, is a pretty exaggerated way of saying it. No, I know. I made that up. But that's how come I said it's exaggerated. But biased anyway, would you agree that he has definitely said they're biased?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, 12 angry Democrats is not exactly a subtle reference.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
John, the Mueller investigation really is a big waste of time.
You think so?
Yeah.
How come?
So does Adam Schiff, because he's planning on going back and spending another 2 years and another so many million dollars reinvestigating just in case Mueller. Now, wait, you said Mueller was like a premier investigator?
Yeah.
You really spoke highly of him. So how could Adam Schiff have to go back to see if he's missing?
Well, they have. I'll tell you what. Now, you said your name was Jeff, because I got Chuck up here on the screen, so it's okay. But I'll take your word for it, okay?
Yeah, no, I'm Jeff, J-E-F-F, in Newport Richey. Yeah, I've been talking to on Facebook all morning.
Yeah. So, oh, good. Hi. Anyway,
hi.
Mueller... And Congress have two different functions. Mueller is investigating possible criminal violations, and the Congress is carrying out its constitutionally mandated duty for oversight of the executive branch. That's part of their job. So they have different functions. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how that is going to affect their viewpoints. I don't know how that's going to affect their and I suspect, by the way, that in carrying out their constitutional mandate, they're probably going to get the material that the Mueller investigation produces.
Well, let me ask you a question, John. At this point, have you made up your mind that President Trump is guilty and unfit and doesn't belong in the office?
I have not. No, I haven't made up my mind about his guilt, because guilt is a guilt is a legal thing, and I just don't know. I have watched. So, I've watched the man since he descended the golden escalator. And I've listened to him, and I have watched him literally lie in the face of the American public over and over and over again. And I've watched him misrepresent stuff, and I have watched him repeat lies that have been proven to be lies after they were proven to be lies. And that leads me to question his fitness. Yes, it does.
Okay, and so, but even in the face of all of that, you still maintain that there's at least a 50-50 chance that he didn't do anything wrong?
I don't know.
I got to tell you that
you know, when you run an organization, and how many people,
Not that I have, but go ahead.
Yeah, but when you run an organization and how many people around you turn out to have actually committed criminal acts, it's, I don't know, is it a stretch of the imagination to imagine that you just didn't know anything about it, or you didn't do anything?
Which big thing was it during where we heard that everybody has friends who have done things in the past? Was that during the Kavanaugh fiasco?
I don't know. I wouldn't be so. I understand that. I understand that. But this is a. This is actually. This isn't like a group of friends. Okay. This is an organization that was formed to accomplish a certain thing, and to imagine that the guy at the head of the organization, who for whose benefit the organization was formed and taking action, didn't know about what the organization was doing, especially a guy who is as hands-on as Donald Trump, I think is a stretch.
I'm confused now. You said all of that, but you think that maybe President Obama didn't know about, you know, the FISA warrants and the Steele dossier?
I'll tell you what I know, and that is that President Obama is no longer in office.
Right.
Now, if there is, and this is the magic phrase, if there is probable cause to investigate events or conduct from that administration, I say go for it. Okay, fine.
I'm glad to hear that from you, John.
Yeah, Yeah, that's that. Listen, where the probable cause shows up, let's go look.
Okay.
Okay. So, listen, I'm glad I got to talk with you. Thanks a lot for calling.
All right. I'll let you get on to another one.
Sure. Thanks.
Day, John. Okay. Bye.
All right. 813-239-9663. And let's see. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's give you a little bit of information about something. We'll get this completed, and then we'll move on and close the session for the day.
Hello, I'm Pete Gallagher from the WMNF Florida Folk Show. In 1967, Arcadia farm worker James Richardson was miles away picking fruit when his seven young children collapsed and died. Innocent, he was railroaded onto Florida's death row. 21 years later, Charles Flowers and I published a year-long investigation that freed Richardson. Filmmaker Ty Flowers and I will screen the documentary Time Simply Passes Sunday, March 24th, 3 p.m. at the Carter Woodson African American Museum in St. Pete. Go to woodsonmuseum.org or call 727-323-1104.
All right. That is very important and very worthwhile. And we are going to go back and talk to Gary in Clearwater. Thank you, Gary, for calling us up. And you have the floor in executive session this afternoon.
Okay. Thank you. First, I want to say yippee. Rob Roy is back.
Okay.
It's like in Mardi Gras, Tampa Bay.
I'll tell you what. Can you get up a little closer to the phone there? We're having a little trouble hearing you. Want to get you clear in here.
Okay.
There you are. That was excellent.
Okay, let me say it over again. Yippee. Rob Lloyd is back. It's like the Mardi Gras of Tampa Bay.
Okay, good. We got that.
And I want to say, by all means, I come from Chicago. And right across the street was Cicero. And guess what? Al Capone was Cicero.
Uh-huh. Everybody knows Al Capone.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? This is, Trump is the modern-day Capone.
You think?
Oh, I sure do.
Okay.
I sure do. And all I want to say is we have to protect Mueller of all costs. He has to be protected. Could you imagine if something happens to him? So we have to do all kinds of precautions to protect him.
Yeah. I think I agree. I think that no matter how it turns out, it's critical that it does turn out. I think it's critical that he complete what he's doing, and that he puts together his report. And no matter how it turns out, I think you're exactly right. We got to protect the guy so he gets to do his job.
And do you know, is there any kind of end to it all? Like, when is it going to end?
No, and that's one of the things we were joking about at the top of the session today, is that we don't know. I mean, everybody's looking, and it's like CNN's got his headquarters staked out, and they think it's significant that people were carrying boxes out, and they think it's significant that so many people have left and so many people have come in, and there's, what does the 18 pages of redacted documents mean? And it's just endless speculation, and the fact of the matter is, Gary, we just don't know.
I'll tell you one thing. I am going to be, as many millions of people are going to be tuned to the TV when the reports come out.
I bet. I think you're right. I think if they made that a pay-per-view, they should make that a pay-per-view event. Maybe the White House could make that a pay-per-view event, and they could use the revenue to pay for the wall.
Well, you know what? That all costs. That is one thing I would pay for.
Okay. Listen, it's good to talk with you, Gary. Thanks a lot for calling. Sure enough. All right. And by the way, want to make sure that you stay tuned today for It's the Music. It's World Poetry Day. So Stu and Amanda will be waxing poetic about Cream. Their album Goodbye went to number one back in 1969. And the late Wilson Pickett, who would have turned 78 this week, this is all on It's the Music, are going to be talking, playing music. And also they'll have tickets to see Gogol Bordello to give away. And It's the Music from 2 to 4 this afternoon on WMNF. And they will take you over and hand you off to the capable hands of Amy Snyder, who's going to navigate you through that traffic jam to get you home on this Thursday afternoon. And so right now we are actually going to go back to the telephones, because we've got just a few minutes to go here in the session for this afternoon and for the week, and we want to get a few folks in here. Jack in Dover, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hi, Mr. Gilmore. How are you today?
So far, not bad.
Good. With regards to the Mueller report, this isn't connected in any way, but...
That's the most interesting lead I've heard all day.
Well, I just wanted to tell you about, I worked at H&R Block in Tennessee, and they hired a gentleman that worked for the IRS, and he came from Miami, Florida, and he had a story that the IRS had confiscated a nightclub in Miami that was Russian-owned, Russian-run, but they were responsible for paying taxes, on their income, and failed to do so. So the IRS confiscated the property.
Hmm.
Well, after everything was all said and done, according to Mark, they turned back around and they rehired the manager of the nightclub to continue to run and operate the nightclub.
The IRS did this.
Yes.
So the IRS confiscated this property because they didn't pay the taxes, and then they hired the same guy to run it.
That's exactly
right. All right, I'm glad I'm trying to keep up with you here. Go ahead.
Well, you know, and I don't know if the Mueller report is, if that's a pretext to how our government operates, you know, but from what I've seen, you know, in my lifetime, there have been a number of instances where people just kind of learn the job on the job.
Uh-huh.
And I think that a lot of what I've seen in government, it just feels like, you know, we hire our neighbors. It's kind of a, it's it's kind of a popularity contest. We hope that they're going to do some good for us when they get to Washington, D.C., but then it's more about, you know, them hobnobbing with whoever is already there, and that's what it becomes about. It's just like the Mueller report and Donald Trump. It's more about him, and, you know, he had disdain for the government when that was part of why he ran for president, is because he wanted to clean up the government and get rid of a lot of people that were already there.
So do you think he actually had disdain for the government, or do you think that that was a pose that he struck for political purposes?
I think both. I think both. But I think that even if he were to be impeached, it would just, in his opinion, that would just be, that's what he's been talking about. Whether he's in charge of the government or whether someone else is in charge of the government, the government is so ill-run that nothing can ever be accomplished.
Yeah.
No matter who's in charge.
Well, you know, government, this is a paraphrase. I don't remember who said this, but it's basically government is really awful and you can't do without it. You know what I mean? I mean, it really is.
Right.
All governments are flawed, and they get stretched this way and that way, and all kinds of strange and weird stuff happens. But you can't not have it. You can't not have some kind of an organization for a state. You know?
Right. Well.
Which is why we are so hawkish on keeping an eye on this one.
Well. A few of the things that I do like are, you know, the way that they're reeling in Google and Facebook and, you know, some of the conglomerates trying to break them up. They've done that in the past to try to, you know, give the little guy an opportunity, you know, to play a part in the game. And I think if that's all the government can do is to try to, you know, level the playing field, then at least it's something, you know, give some people some hope.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for calling in, Jack. I always like to talk with you, and I appreciate it. We'll talk again, sir.
Likewise, John. Thank you.
Sure enough. All right. We are right in the meat of the lightning round. We're going to go and talk to Antonio, who has said that he believes the Mueller report will change nothing. Antonio, tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, are you saying, Don, I don't want you to take this too hard now.
I'm buckled up, boss. I came in here and got good and buckled up.
But the truth is, John, regardless whether he's guilty or not, regardless of what our report says, he's still going to be president. Everybody he appointed to all the departments are still going to be there. We're still going to be selling weapons to Saudi Arabia, and none of that is ever going to change. And at the end of it all, he's still going to build a wall.
You think so, huh?
I know so. That's exactly what's going to happen. I'm trying to tell you.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You have staked out some very, very clear territory, Antonio, and it should be easy enough to find out if that's the territory we inhabit.
Look, check this out. Just on the Kavanaugh thing. Remember the Kavanaugh thing? Oh, my God, you know, that he was guilty for rape and all this. How was it that he got voted in? Wasn't it because of a Democratic vote or something that he made it in?
You know what? I watched that whole thing, and that was one of the most confusing pieces of work I've ever seen. I saw somebody who was trying to hold accountable for something that apparently happened when they were in high school, and that they considered to be indicative of his current character. And then I saw that guy exhibit the kind of character and quite frankly, the way that he responded to it called for me into question his demeanor as a judge. So I don't know what he did.
Who voted him in?
Huh?
All right, but at the end, who was the deciding vote at the end?
I don't know.
I thought it was a Democrat or something that gave him the last vote.
I don't know. You know what? I don't even remember. That's been so long ago, and it seems like ages ago to me. And
it's redundant. I'm just saying the whole thing is redundant.
Okay.
He did something wrong, and he's still there.
Okay. Well, he did. You know, yeah, I hear you. All right, Antonio. Listen, thanks a lot. I appreciate you bringing that in being an instrument for illuminating my confusion. This afternoon, I thank you very much.
We'll
talk again. All right. Let me see something here for just a second. We got a Federico, are you there?
Yes.
All right, now you got about 30 seconds. Can you do it?
Yes, of course I can.
Go for it.
Okay, I want to alert the community. Mr. Trump has a bigger issue that is immediate, not remote like the Mueller report, and is the Venezuelan crisis.
Yeah.
He has to make a decision whether to invade in our name or not. And because the country is really spiraling down a mortal path, I mean, it's really going bad, and we are supporting an alternate president, and we took all the revenue from the oil that the other government, the usurper, the people that are illegally in the government were having. So right now, they just arrest the assistant of the good president, and we have to do something, either to intervene.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. That's all the time we have. You have had the last word in the session today. I appreciate it. Call back and we'll talk again.
Bye-bye.
All right. Here we go now. Driver 1058 is reminding you, keep your head on a swivel. Keep that big foot up and...
keep your eyes.
This is WMNF Tampa.